Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I'm bringing you a really special episode because today's going to be our first cliffhanger of the series, and it's coming out of nowhere else but Appleton, Wisconsin. Julie Nicolau, tell everybody hello.
Hello and good morning.
So thank you for being on the show. Tell my listeners where you are. I mean, I already said Appleton, Wisconsin, but what you do and a wee tiny bit of your background.
So we are here in the middle of the state for the most part. We are south of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hello, Packer Country. How are y'all? So we do a lot of bank-owned properties, REO, if you are familiar with the term. And when you do bank-owned properties, you sometimes get a lot of colorful properties and a lot of colorful stories that come along with those properties.
You know, that's why I like foreclosures myself, because you don't get these kind of stories with normal houses.
That is true. That is true. And there's always a different situation that can get not only the prior owners, but the properties into the situation they're in. A lot of times it's something that could be a life change. It could be an unfortunate circumstance. But sometimes, as we are here today, it is crazy shit that gets you into the circumstance that you're in. And we have a current property that we've had for about 2 months now that I tell you, you just can't make this stuff up. Truth is definitely stranger than fiction. So we got a listing and we met the occupants after a couple of visits to the property. And turns out these people are not supposed to be there. They are calling themselves caretakers of the property, courtesy of the executor of the estate of the prior owner.
Okay, so hang on a minute. Are these like, is that like another way to say squatters, or did somebody actually give them permission?
They kind of sort of had permission, but yes, let's just call them squatters, because at the very end of the day, get the hell out was kind of the polite way to just say, really, can you just leave now, please? Would you do so? Would you do so if I brought the sheriff along with me? Would that help?
So, okay, Dr. Seuss book, Marvin K. Mooney, can you please go now?
That would be awesome. Remember that one? I think Dr. Seuss books would play into just about every visit to this property. Where All the Wild Things would also help a little bit on this one, let me tell you. So we get out, we meet these occupants, we'll call them, although I've called them many other things that I probably can't even say, even on this podcast. And they're artists. Which I have a sister who's an artist. They're very loving and colorful people. But, you know, when they're trying to sell me crystals that they make from the ashes of dead people, and this is the first time I'm meeting these people, girl, I got to tell you, I'm thinking, kind of glad I got the mace in my pocket and my big bodyguard son who comes along with me on some of these first visits.
Nice move.
Yeah. So, okay, great. No, I don't want to buy a crystal of dead people, but thank you. Thank you for offering today. What are your intentions? Will you be staying in the property for long, or, you know, do I need to go the eviction route? Okay, fine. Great. No, a couple weeks. Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you. That's great. So, no, turns out to be a couple months later. Yes, we're going to have to go the eviction route. But then we come along and we meet the executor of the estate of the prior owner, who, and of course, for disclosure purposes, we have to now disclose, yes, there was a death on the property somewhere. Awesome. That's fun to learn. Always love those stories, too.
Wait a minute. This is not the person who has formed the crystals they tried to sell you previously, is it?
Well, I don't know if it was his ashes or a combination of many other people, and I'm really not sure I want to know who's in that crystal you're still trying to sell me every time I come to the property. And the price does keep going up, which is also quite strange. So now we find out, yes, there has been a death somewhere on the property, and every time I ask, it actually changes where this occurred, which is also quite strange. Don't really gonna keep knowing. This is a 20-acre property, by the way. So okay, great. Are you going to show me where this occurred? Do I have to find this by myself? Is there going to be evidence of that? Because we've also had those properties, which are very, very fun. Not so much. Okay, so now we're starting to find all the outbuildings because there's many of them at this property. Very overgrown, lots of many weeds, lots of, did I mention they're artists? So there's many natural habitats going on with many creatures and other things at this property. So every time we go out, we're getting dive bombed by the bats and by the bees and by the birds and by the raccoons. And oh, yes, we saw a snake or two. Oh, and then there was the coyote. I didn't even know we had coyotes here in Wisconsin. What is that all about?
So it's 20 acres, man. You got to have everything.
I'm telling you, girl. So we get over to the pond. And of course, then you see the back end of a car sticking out of the pond. What the really? Okay, is this where the body is? Is there like still something floating in this thing that I just don't want to know about? Do I have to have this thing drugged to see what's down in there? Then the next time we get out, the sheriff had just been to the property because apparently the horses next door have been attacked by someone with a machete. What?
What? A machete?
A machete, right? Really? Are you kidding me? Okay, so great. Now I've got creepy wild things, and now I've got crazy machete-wielding weirdos on the property late at night. Oh, this is good. I guess I won't be coming out here unless it's really broad daylight. Okay, that's fun. Thanks for sharing. So now we get into meeting the executor a little bit more. Finding out some details of the prior owner of this place, finding out a little bit about what got him into his circumstance of losing the property itself. Because again, everybody's got a different situation that led them to where they are. So I find out that Mr. Prior owner had at one point sent money under one of those scams to a foreign country in another continent multiple times. Oh, that's fun and exciting. Great. Well, he also borrowed money from everybody in town to do so. So he's pretty much ticked off just about everybody in town. Now, everybody in town wants their money back. So they're coming out to the property to take and get their hands on anything that's not bolted down to try to at least get something and recover some money any which way they can. So we've got people coming out to the property taking anything that's not going to at least stay affixed to the land. So now we've got trail cams set up at the property to see who's coming and going and when they're coming and going and what they're taking out with them. So that's fun. Great. Guess I'll watch my back every time I'm out there, see if I'm going to get mugged or not. I don't know. Maybe they're going to take me. Oh, okay. Well, maybe they'll sell me. You know why I say that? Because apparently this guy also tried to buy a wife from Mexico at one point.
What?
Who does this? Who does this kind of stuff?
People on TV, not the real world.
Right, right. So when we're going through, you have to go through the belongings that are left in the property as part of the, they call it the trash out process, and then the personal belongings to determine if there's anything of value left in the home. And as we're going through this story, I'm like, you know, you hear a lot of stuff and you never know. You take it all with a big grain of salt. What's true, what's not true. But we're going through and we're finding maps of Mexico and clothing made in Mexico. We're finding little like card games and other board games and things all in Spanish. And like it all has Mexican stuff, literally the word Mexico all over all these things. And I'm thinking, holy macaroni, maybe this story really was actually true. It's like, who does this? Apparently this guy does this stuff. So
girl, that sounds like human trafficking. That is some creepy.
I'm telling you.
Making the hair stand up on my neck.
Like, and now I'm thinking, okay, this guy died on this property, but really, did he just pass? Or did something happen to this man? What happened to this man? Did someone happen or did something happen to this man? I'm thinking maybe I don't want to keep digging around and asking too many more questions.
Seriously, you might want to get off the property.
I'm telling you. So another time I'm out at this property, and of course now my radar is up every time I'm out there, right? And it's got this really long driveway, and again, 20 acres. We're set way back off the road, and there's a kind of a big pasture area right toward the road, but then when you get further back in, kind of where the house is, he's got a lot of kind of the evergreen trees, so it's kind of a heavy screen and you can't really see much right at the house, but you can see down this long driveway. So I'm parked up by the house and I see a truck coming up the driveway. I'm thinking, okay, kind of weird. Nobody should be here, but okay, I'll kind of play along. So I'm kind of sitting in the car. I've got the mace in my hand, which, you know, not necessarily going to do a whole lot, but at least it's something.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, right. Well, at least I can mace him before he kills me. Awesome. So this guy comes up and I thought, hey, I've seen this truck before. Well, it turns out it's the guy across the street. It's the neighbor across the street. And he wants to know who's at the property. So, okay, that's not so bad. Maybe he's actually kind of keeping an eye on the place. So he gets out and we're chit-chatting a little bit. He goes, you know, this guy, and I won't use his name. We'll protect all the guilty parties here. He tried to sell my car. I said, he did what? He goes, well, you know, he ran an ad in the paper that he was trying to sell a vehicle. Okay, why is that important here? He said, well, when the people came out to look at the car, the story that he told was his ditch was a little bit too deep by the roadside so that he had it parked across the street in our lawn because we have a nice flat surface right at the road. Okay, that sounds plausible. Yeah, the problem was it was the neighbor's car that he was trying to sell. He almost got away with it. He got the money from these folks, and the only thing that he couldn't get away with was the fake title, the certificate that he tried to get them to sign. So he got this close to selling the neighbor's car with an
ad. Okay, well, let's say those buyers were stupid, though, Julie. I mean, we can't let them get away with falling for this. It almost
handed him money. I'm telling you. So the next time it comes up, I'm talking to the executor, so I'm kind of running down the story trying to figure out, did this really happen? He said, well, yes, actually, that did happen. He said, now you watch out, though, for that neighbor. He said he's apparently the one that found the prior occupant after he had passed, after he'd been there a couple days, of course. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's awesome in the middle of summer. So he apparently, when he found him, when all the EMTs and everybody were out there doing their thing, had a ton of jewelry on him and he liked to wear flashy gold and all kinds of stuff. When the family came, all that stuff was missing. So it gets ever so much more fun. I said, gee, I wonder if he's getting them back for trying to sell his car.
Jeez.
I tell you, girl, everything out there, every time I go there, there's something new. Every time I turn around, there's something different going on out there.
Okay, so what's our status right now? Are we still in redemption? Or are you under contract? Or
nope.
What are you?
we just got to the point where we finally got the occupants, shall we call them, out of the property. They did leave of their own free accord, although it was kind of under the, I hate to call it threat, but the threat of the sheriff's coming out to do a full-blown eviction and removal.
Let's call it a reminder. You just reminded them that the sheriff could come. Right. It wasn't a threat. It's just a reminder.
Exactly. Exactly. So they left. We've got all of the proper documentation signed by everyone that they left. They left of their own accord. They have left behind all the property that they no longer want. So all of that has now transpired. We are finally getting into the property to start removing the items that were abandoned and left behind and start to clean up the lawn and get everything going. So we're just in the early stages still. So I'm sure there's still more to come with this one physically and story-wise. So I'm kind of just waiting for the next shoe to drop, but I'm pretty sure we're going to look like a shoe store when this one's done with all the shoes that have dropped on this house.
And I'm pretty sure that with a property like this, with its kind of aura, it's going to draw in every crazy buyer in your marketplace.
They are going to come out of the woodwork on this one.
Oh, yeah.
We always get a little bit of everybody that wants to know everything. And I have a feeling on this one, everybody that wants their money back is going to try to come and get into this property as well. So I'm sure we'll get every story under the sun from everybody that we meet.
So if you are a consumer listening to this, just remember that when you call us, your realtors, and ask about buying foreclosures, and we tell you it's not yet available, I want you to listen to Julie's story again and understand why they're not quite available yet, because there's a lot of steps we have to go through, and sometimes more than others. And also, when you, the consumer, ask us about your neighbors, we can't guarantee that the neighbor's not going to try and sell the car off your property or retaliate for the former owner selling the car off his property, but your neighbors come and go, so don't judge your realtor by the neighbors, but you do judge your realtor by their ability to keep going back to a property and professionally handle anything thrown at them, like Julie is demonstrating all of her skills on one property.
We usually say we've seen it all, but I am always impressed when I can learn something new at a property. And this one, definitely, I can say I have had some new experiences.
I have always quit saying impressed. That. I will not say I have seen it all, because the second you say that, you get the machete people out there going after the animals and the coyote and Lord.
Oh, and there was a tornado the night we did the Reiki. Did I forget to mention that part, too? So we ended up in the basement. Did I forget that part?
Well, it just seems to me that with what you've described, how could you even tell a tornado had come or gone or hit a property anyway? This one might could have used it.
I'm thinking that might have done us a favor, too. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And just when people thought all this stuff happened in the South, thank you for proving that it happens in the Midwest and the Northern Midwest, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Wisconsin is famous for a few crazy people. I won't name them by name. Just Google that kind of stuff. But yes.
Girl, I was going to watch your political news. I can see all the crazies I need to see on either side.
We have it all. We are full service here.
So, Julie, if anybody's looking for professional realtor help in Appleton, Wisconsin, or probably anywhere in Wisconsin, you could connect them to somebody. How could they reach you?
Yes, ma'am. We are here at RPM Homes. We are in Appleton, Wisconsin. We do service the full Fox River Valley area. However, we do have connections throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. We are members of not only the Women's Council, but CRS and many of the other fine organizations. So we do like to provide those referrals to all of our members throughout the entire state here.
And if you're a consumer, when Julie mentions being part of the Women's Council and the Council of Residential Specialists, that just means she has taken additional classes and stepped above the average realtor in an effort to bring you an entirely different experience, because we know that real estate does not look like what you see on HGTV, and the best professional realtors can still hold your hand even if there's no gold jewelry left on it. So I will include all of Julie's contact information in the show notes, because you're probably driving or dying on the elliptical while you listen to this. You can reach out to her with any needs for Appleton, Wisconsin real estate. Julie, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will schedule a follow-up for our cliffhanger here, so you can tell us the final results of this property when that happy day comes.
Thank you, Ms. Lee.
And if you are a realtor, a lender, investor, inspector, vendor, or a consumer with your own crazy story to tell, please shoot me a message and we will feature you on the podcast. And we want you to always remember that having a professional realtor by your side can make the crazy shit even not just doable, but enjoyable after you get through it. So subscribe for more episodes, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.